Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's Malls. It's episode 27 of Please Advise. My guest today...
127.
It's episode 127 of Please Advise. I'm exhausted. Christina Lopez is an angel. And our guest today is Frankie Greek, who you guys might remember from the Please Advise 100th episode special. She came out here, I mean, just for us, right?
Yeah. You flew out here just for us. Yeah, I was just talking about this on Snapchat, that I was basically like, I needed a reason to make the trip. Like, I wanted to. I wanted to come see a friend. I kind of low-key wanted to come see a boy. So I was like, this is a good reason. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you guys were like, yeah, come, I was like, cool, kayak.com. I'm there.
Do you use Kayak?
I love Kayak.
Yeah, I do too.
You do?
Yeah.
I just go to southwest.com, baby.
I always start at Kayak. And then like if I feel like I can get cheaper somewhere else. I just got a Southwest credit card though. So I've been trying to do more Southwest.
I'm all about first ever credit rapid card rewards. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
I got an Amazon credit card, which is huge for me because – I buy everything on Amazon, from paper towels to underwear to jeans to whatever. Everything is from Amazon. You get 5% back on your Amazon purchases if you have Amazon Prime.
That's amazing.
I do.
Yeah.
You get 2% back on restaurants, gas stations, and hotels. And you get 1% back on all purchases.
Damn.
So, like, I feel like a very I feel very smart right now.
Yeah,
I feel like
definitely.
I'm doing a lot of great things with my life. And I kind of love credit card points.
Yeah.
I feel like not a lot of people use them, though. Like, my accountant said to me, I wish more of my clients use their credit card points.
Right.
And I'm like, you've got, like, super rich people up in here that are probably charging things on their Black Card. Like, what are their points getting?
Anyway, they're just sitting there.
Yeah. I got, like, a GoPro with my points.
That's
like,
amazing.
You go on and you cash them in, you know?
Yeah.
Have you done that yet?
No, I haven't. I've only had this card for, like, 2 months. I held out for as long as I could because I didn't trust myself. And then I got to the point where I was like, I have to get a credit card. Like, it just has to happen.
You just need to establish credit is the other thing. And then, like, of course, you can't rent a car in a lot of states without a credit card, which a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
I went to Texas and had no idea I needed a credit card. All I'd ever had in my life was a debit card.
Yeah.
And so I had to, like, my friend happened to be there and I was like, can I use your credit card for a major, major expense?
Yes.
And trust that I'll pay you back. Okay. But you just moved here to LA.
I did.
Not for Please Advise.
Not for Please Advise.
But because you got a new job.
I did, yeah.
What do you do?
I work in social media.
Uh-huh.
I had been freelancing for the past 2.5 years or so, kind of like doing everything all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got an
offer.
Very
efficiently.
Yeah.
No, honestly, you work.
She gives like little like job tips on her Snapchat. I watch her Snapchat.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
But she was just like, I like to follow up with my clients and do like a deep dive on what I could have improved on. And I was like, oh, my God, like you're like legit. Like.
I've experienced a lot of, in the past 6 months, like a lot of hardcore imposter syndrome.
Uh-huh.
And now that I'm in a full-time job now. And there was a part of me that was like, like, you know, because when you're freelancing, you have that like hustle mentality. And,
yes.
You know, you're around other freelancers or whatever. And you kind of like are always kind of feeding off the adrenaline of it. And you kind of always have to be on and always looking for new mm-hmm. clients and always following up with your old clients because like that's how you make your money.
Yeah.
And switching to having a full-time job, there was a little part of me that was like, like, you know, like I'm not hustling as hard as I used to have to.
Uh-huh.
But it's also like really affirming to be around a team of people that you work with and you kind of like know that you know your shit. Instead of like when I was freelancing, I was just having to constantly convince people I knew my shit. And then at the end of the day, I'd be like, do I know what I'm talking about? Like, do I know things about social media?
But you work very consistently, I would say. Like, it seems like you do a lot of stuff on camera, just like creating content and doing stuff like that. That's actually not, I mean, you're in a very saturated market and you have managed to really thrive in it, which I think is very impressive.
Right.
Also, especially for one of our younger guests, I feel like you're one of the harder working guests that we've had and one of the ones that has a job that you can't also be a super like partier while doing.
Right,
I feel like you have to be, I feel like you're very focused and that is a rare quality in generally freelancers. Like
mm-hmm.
there's the hustle there, but there's a little bit more of like a panic that it's more of like a fear driven thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of anxiety.
But I think that also you make it seem very adult the way that you do it. I don't see like that like messy, right. frenetic energy that I see with a
good,
lot of people.
Good. I'm glad it comes across that way. Yeah.
You're so young. How old are you?
I'm 24. I'll be 25 in July. Mm-hmm. I actually just like went through a thing where I realized that I'm a baby because I like, I don't know if it's New York or just because I was working in social media. And like when I used to work for a company called the Shorty Awards. So I was working with a lot of like Viners and Instagrammers mm-hmm. and like musers, which are like musically people.
Oh, I know what like, they are.
Oh, okay. I had to educate my, that was the first time that I like felt old on the internet. I was like, this is something that missed me because I don't get it. And
yeah.
So like being around that energy and all these people and like meeting like, you know, 19-year-old Viners who are worth like a couple mil is just like yeah. really like, what am I doing with my life? So it's I had to get to a point where I was like, stop comparing yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also you're a fucking infant. Like,
yeah.
So like just chill. So I feel comparison like I'm just now
comes
getting
up a lot on this podcast. Yeah. It's just like
it's so hard.
It's the thief of joy. Yes, as Leslie Grossman exactly. once said.
Yes. So one thing I wanted to ask you though is like I think about this a lot because I don't know Musical.ly stars because I love Musical.ly. I know about them because I get obsessed with weird pockets of the internet.
Right.
And like I can't believe how sexual some of these very young girls
are. Oh my God, yeah.
And then like of course you get into that part of the internet where it's like now it's like the response video and it's like some older man like talking about some 13-year-old girl her very sexy performance. Mm-hmm. And they all look like, oh, they all look like older. There's
right.
With
that's
this,
not how I looked when I was 13.
No, there's something about this new generation of kids. Right. Their bodies are shaped differently. Uh-huh. They look more adult. It's just like it's different. I mean, everyone kind of looks like Kylie Jenner.
That's
now.
What I was going to say. It's like the Kylie Jenner effect. It's yeah. just like it's intense. I'm so glad that like I'm, you know, social media became a part of my life a little bit later, not too much later, but it was also so different, I think, because we didn't all have camera phones.
Yeah.
So like when I got I got super into like Zanga when yeah. I was like 15 and 16. And like that, you know, there's some like dark corners of Zanga and like who knows if the people I was talking to on, you know, groups on Zanga
oh,
were
sure.
actually adults or not. But
oh,
like
sure.
I wasn't, you know, like an Instagram model at age 14 and I feel very grateful for that.
So
that is cyberbullying. I don't think I have, you know, I would rather someone like an adult human be mean to me to my face than be like a 14-year-old girl like on Twitter.
Yeah.
It sounds awful.
Yeah. No, for sure. I don't know how people like I get hurt by the comments. Like
oh my God,
I accidentally
yeah.
fell into like so I have Emotionally Broken Psychos, my other podcast mm-hmm. about reality TV, and I was asking Nicole like, hey, do we have any new referral links? Because I was trying to find out like if we're on lists and stuff like that, I want to know.
Right.
So she sent me one and it was a blog that's like it's like a kind of like a specific blog about one person, like making fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for years, I read this blog because I thought it was hilarious, right? And I had mentioned it, and I think that I shorthand like called it a hater blog or something on Emotionally Broken Psychos. And so she thought that it was like them being like, oh, they talked about us, but like instead it turned into like this girl who's terrible at podcasts, like she shouldn't even be hosting a podcast.
God.
She upspeaks and says like too much. You know, she was talking about us and she called us haters. And then it goes
into, by the way, those commentaries tell me a lot about the age range of the people commenting.
What do you mean?
When they're critiquing Upspeak or Vocal Fry.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So there's it's like a certain subset of age people.
Exactly. So tired of talking about Vocal Fry.
Me too. I'm so tired of fucking defending myself. So, because it's, I've just talked about it on too many podcasts now. I can't talk about it anymore. But I will say this, okay? They go on and on to like go on and speak about my financial situation, what they perceive to be my lifestyle, accusations of someone called me like a drug addict or something. And I, first of all, I love it when people call me a drug addict because I am so confused about what drug it is that I'd be on.
Right.
Like I'm always just like, I'm way too low energy for even legal speed.
Yeah.
I definitely like, I couldn't live if I was out doing coke every night, and that would definitely I'd be skinnier. If I was on heroin, like I would be taking the naps that I want to be taking all the time.
Right.
I don't know what drug I'd be on.
I do wonder if it's like that subset of people who think that marijuana is like a severe drug.
Yeah.
And that's still a
great danger. Yeah. People are like, are you using marijuana?
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, there's a reason why it's not legal countrywide.
Right. Now. Yeah. True.
Yeah. But I mean, I would think people would be a little bit more chic than that. And also it's like, I don't even know if I'm a daily weed smoker anymore. I mean, definitely several days a week, but not like, I'm not a wake and baker.
Right.
But anyway, so I thought that was a, it just was like, I was really hurt by the comments and I don't know how, and
no, it's
and,
tough.
And I know better than that. Like I like came of, like I came up in the don't read the comments,
don't read the comments,
you know? And so we were, I mean, at first, like we were almost instructed to read the comments, like at certain jobs I had where it was like, it's important that not only you're reading the comments, but that you're in them. And if someone says something to you, like don't feel the need to snark back, just like ignore it or whatever. But I read the comments and they really fucking hurt my feelings. And I don't know how that's ever supposed to not hurt a person. Like, exactly. I'm not like, what are you supposed to do? Just be like, oh, they're old and weird and they don't get me. And they're, you know, I never like to go to, oh, they're jealous. I hate they're jealous because it's delusional.
I mean, I think for me, it always just comes back to like hurt people, hurt people. And it's like, I always just like, I realized recently that I'm sensitive to the point that like, okay, so the company I work for is called UpRocks and they upload these like little daily like breaking news videos like 10 to 12 a day. And I'm the person who uploads them and like writes the copy. But like I don't shoot these videos. I don't edit these videos. It's not any of my like my brain or my career. And I still like if someone says something negative about the video in the comments, I get offended. And I'm like, whatever. And like, you know, they cover a lot of politics. So that's just delving into like a whole other point of the internet. And then for like my personal stuff, like Snapchat's my biggest platform. And Snapchat is like basically anonymous. Like, the, you know, if someone says something shitty to me on Snapchat, I'm the only person who sees it. And like I screenshot it and I put it on blast if it's something like real ignorant. But it's like, you know, I have to go through breaks, especially with like the political stuff. Like I Snapchatted me at like a protest in New York City and I didn't open a single snap for like 48 hours after that because I just knew it was going to be a bunch of like ignorant stuff. And it weighed on me so much more than I thought that it did.
Yeah. Ugh. You have like, I mean, a much bigger Snapchat or probably more diverse and young Snapchat audience that I have as well. And so for me, it's usually like people that either found me because they went out of their way to find me or because someone that they admire recommended me. So like, therefore they're just doing like the worship thing too.
Yeah.
But my biggest thing on Snapchat is how many people tell me things that I can't I can't believe that I'm the person in their life they think they should tell that to.
Oh
do
my
you
God,
get that a lot?
I do, yeah, especially with, you know, some, like, younger girls. It's – I like, the most active – because you can't really know who your followers are on Snapchat.
Right.
But the, my most active, like, the people who are communicating with me seem to be, like, younger girls and then, like, 30-year-old dudes and then, like, mid-50s housewives. I get a lot of – especially around the election, I had a lot of, like – middle of the country housewives who were like, I watch you on my iPad or I watch you with my grandson and we like text about it, like whatever. And they were just kept saying like how disappointed they were in me that I was voting for Hillary and how like I should be more aware of like who my audience is, whatever. And then like saying like really ignorant things about like the travel ban because that was the protest that I was at and stuff like that. And like basically like these older women talking to me as if I'm like a surrogate daughter and as if I owe them something.
Right.
And I just like it started to make me really uncomfortable. And it's really hard because Snapchat's such an intimate platform. Like it's the only time that you're taking up someone's entire screen on their phone, like really paying attention to what they're saying. And like there's people like I feel like I know you because I follow you on Snapchat.
Totally.
And I know that there's people who feel the same way about me or have been following me for such a long time or whatever. And like I've met a couple of them like when I've traveled and like, you know, met up with them or whatever. And like it's really, really cool. But there's also just like a like an inverse of that that gets like a little too like you don't know me and you don't have a right to like anything about my life or to have like aggressive opinions. So I just I have to make myself take breaks from like reading the comments basically.
So I was just it's funny that you say that though because I have been re-listening. I've been doing a lot of research on Britney Spears and I recently re-listened to my friend Andrea Siegel's episode of Mystery Show, that Gimlet media show that Starlee Kine hosted for a while. And basically her episode was about how Britney was seen out holding her book. Long story short, Starlee couldn't get to anyone on Britney's team, so she had to go to the VIP meet and greet. And Felicia, Britney's well-known assistant, was the person who took you through the tour. And the last thing she said before the meet and greet, which was like the highest tier, I think you had to pay $2,500 to go to it. And you got to just go out, take a selfie with Britney, and then you were done. But she said, just remember something. She's like, you're about to meet Britney. And you're going to introduce yourself to her and she's probably going to introduce herself back and you're going to think, of course I know who you are. I know you. But you have to remember that Britney doesn't know you. And like that was – I was just like, first of all, how long must have it have taken for them to put together that phrasing? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
How long has that been going on? Like that – people have, like, how many meet and greets went out of control?
What happened that made that necessary?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, but of course, you're Britney Spears. Like, yeah, it's like, you know, okay.
She's like, okay, yeah. Like, right. You're just a normal person. That's why I'm actually was not at all shocked and thought it was a very good thing that Justin Bieber, of all people, canceled his meet and greets. Because it is fucking draining to meet that many people that think they know you. And I only know that on, like, a meetup of, like, 15 people scale. Right.
Have you watched the Netflix special with the MagCon kids, the, like, famous Instagram model boys? I forget their name.
Is it the Cameron thing?
Yeah, Cameron Dallas.
I really want to watch that. That's on my list.
Love it. Because it really just hones in on them meeting, like, hundreds of thousands of teen girls who, like, basically in their heads, these girls have relationships with these boys. Uh-huh. But the guys themselves are really, really young. I think they might be 20. And they've been doing this for so long. And you can just see it in them. And they do their little testimonials. And they just feel such a responsibility for these, and these girls are telling them, like, you know, that they have eating disorders or that they cut themselves and, like, this or this is happening in their families, and he's just, like, taking it all and, like, just feels so responsible. And it's just, like, I think that, like, social media has warped the idea of celebrity so much and, like, accessibility so much, where it's like, you know, you can, especially on a platform like Snapchat, when, like, you have no idea how many other people are watching this person and feeling the same connection. So it's just, like, it's crazy.
It's interesting because this whole concept came up during, I don't know if you guys listen to the Missing Richard Simmons podcast.
Yeah.
But, which, problematic podcast, but that's
I was so upset by the end.
I've never seen furious. More think pieces about one podcast.
I know.
I was furious. But,
you know, he's talking about how, like, you kind of are a therapist to the people without having a learning to equip yourself with the ability to handle all these things that the people are taking on to you.
Yeah, it's empathy addiction. Like, I really do think that there is, I think that I suffer from that on a very low level where it's like I do take it on very personally when someone reaches out to me on this podcast or on Snapchat or whatever.
Right.
To the point that it really, really affects me. Like,
I feel like I'm a gatekeeper sometimes to, like, keep the, like, crazy stuff and be like, hey, this is not, we don't have the capacity to answer something
people
like
are just
this.
Can
Please
you just
get
call
real
me
help.
Personally, like, people will do that. They'll be like, I don't want to ask on air, but can you just call me? And it's like, no. Like, first of all, you can't afford me. Secondly, like, but no, it's tough. And I do wonder, I was gonna ask you originally, this is my original tangent, was I was going to ask you, so you meet these, like, you know, 19-year-olds that have a couple mil in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think their trajectory is? Because a couple mil in the bank is great, but that's not going to last you for the rest of your life unless it's very well invested.
Right.
And for the most part, a lot of these kids are not super well investing their money. First of all, I think a lot of them come from strange homes because in order for your child to even be allowed – I mean, my mom would have never let me – put shit like that on the internet.
Right.
Let alone get on a tour bus with, like, six boys and, like, travel around the country.
Travel the country
there's
meeting,
like,
teen
I
girls.
There's, like, I've seen a Musical.ly tour that's, like, one girl and six boys. And I'm like, my mom would never let me do that.
No, no,
there
absolutely
would need to
not.
Be so many fucking adults on that bus for that to ever go down. And, like, it's – I don't think there is. I think there's, like, a bus driver, maybe one chaperone.
Right.
Like, you know someone's fucking in the back. Like,
exactly.
You know that.
Someone's getting a handy J.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, what do you think their trajectory is?
I don't know. I mean, and I think I would have had a different answer to this question a year ago, but I think that, like, I think you're absolutely right. I think Vine came out during a time where, like, technology hadn't really caught up with parents yet, and they didn't realize, like, giving a kid an iPhone was connecting them to the whole world. And, like, there's so many stories of kids who became, like, famous on Vine, like, had, like, you know, a couple hundred thousand followers, and their parents had no idea. No idea whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, combined with the fact that, like, Vine no longer exists, like, I think that in this day and age, you do kind of have to be, like, a little bit business savvy in order to move your followers to a different platform. And a lot of these kids aren't old enough to really figure that out. But there are a lot of them have managers and representation and other people working with them to kind of do that. So I've seen a ton of these Viners, like, move to YouTube and move to this, do that, like rack up as many brand deals as they can. I mean, I think it honestly just depends on, like, the ones that I think have staying power are the ones that have, like, a genuine talent, like the ones who are, like, musicians doing this, doing that. Because if you're just a personality, like, your fan base is going to outgrow you. Like, these 13-year-olds are going to become 23-year-olds, and they're not going to care anymore, and they're not going to, like, buy the products that you're shilling and, like, that kind of thing.
But there are people, like, YouTubers that have done that very well, I think, of, like, aging with their audience.
Yes.
And, like, I think that is, I mean, that's more of a medium for it. I think, wasn't the problem with Vine essentially that you couldn't monetize it within the platform?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hard to,
So, I don't know, dude. I just fucking, like, I think I want a boob job.
Yeah?
That's the thought that I've come to after that entire speech.
That's fair.
I went to a matchmaking event last weekend in Baltimore.
Oh my god! Oh yeah, I saw you were in Baltimore.
The tweets from these were like insane fire.
I love Baltimore. I'm originally from like the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Whenever people ask me like if it's closer to Philly or Pittsburgh, I always say Baltimore because it's the honest truth. So, was that your first time?
No, I dated someone from Baltimore, so I spent a pretty large amount of time there. But what I mean, it was just literally a 48-hour trip.
Dang.
So I got into a time machine and I went to Baltimore and I went to this matchmaking seminar where this woman was wild. I mean, I've said it. We haven't aired the podcast about it yet, but like this is a woman who had a plastic surgeon there to give us like consultations and kind of like suggest some stuff that we can do. And she gave people makeovers. I do want to say that I was identified as having the best sweater in the room for attracting men.
Great.
So it was a teal Tori Burch sweater that I got at Nordstrom Rack, which amazing. Susan, the matchmaker, would not like because she's all about that money.
Was this just for straight people?
Of course it was. It was for finding rich men.
Right. Oh.
That was also the purpose of it. That was the pitch.
And our
guest of honor was like former bachelor Chris Soules.
Oh, good.
And my friend Amy, like that's like her man.
Ultimate.
She like loves him, and I just like I don't I can't like he's just like a bro to me.
Do you know
what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I said to my friends in a group email after, I was like, I want to wear Ugg boots, not date them. Like he's just so basic, but he looked hot. He is hot in person.
Mm-hmm.
Not my type. 15-minute Q&A. We were there for 6 hours. We had to, one point, someone from the Department of Social Services came out and started talking to us about foster care charities. And
Part of the program?
And there was no context given as to why she was there. So when they were like, so-and-so is here from the Department of Social Services, I was like, Amy, shut your computer. They know we're here. Like, I have no idea why she – I honestly I turned into a fucking puddle of nerves because as soon as Chris Soules came out, Amy, who had been, like, typing on her laptop the whole day, she she got like tapped on the shoulder by like country club security that was hired by the matchmaker for the day.
Uh-huh.
And he was basically like, ma'am, you can't record. And she's like, I'm not recording. And he's like, well, you can't write down anything he says. And she was like, says who? And he was like, says me. And then she's like, I'm sorry, who are you?
Right.
And he's like, I'm security. And she's like, for who? And like, I really admired Amy's persistence.
Right.
Because like, the second anyone with a bow tie or a regular tie or even a stern face and a name tag tells me what to do, I will do it.
Yeah.
Like, I will drop to my, like, knees and just, like, put my hands behind my head. Like, I understand I'm in trouble. Like, I get very, very nervous about everything. I'm way too Catholic for this. As soon as that happened, my palms started sweating. I had to pee every 30 minutes. I was short of breath. I think there was long periods of time in which I was just holding my breath. I was so freaked out that we were getting in trouble because I was roasting her on Twitter too. And I never said her name because I was like, what if she sues me? And I'm like, she can't sue me for paying to come to her seminar and like tweeting my thoughts about it.
Right.
But like, it was bad. We had some fake eyelashes glued on us that a woman who had like shaved eyebrows got some penciled in next to me while I was having fake lashes glued to me by some local area Baltimore makeup artist.
All to find a rich man.
And you know, I asked Susan, there was a very interesting thing that she brought up that made me think of Please Advise Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And basically she said that all of us stick to these superficial lists of what we like. Must love dogs. Okay, which I do not think is superficial and we got in a fight about. I was like, you know, if you don't love dogs, you're a fucking psychopath.
Right.
Or the movie. You know.
Yeah, she said you can't post photos of your dogs in your Tinder or like your dating profile pictures because some guys might not like dogs. She told another girl.
So this was like a Tinder sanctioned thing?
Yeah. And I said, Amy and I both have really cute dogs. So we're sitting there looking at each other being like, don't like 50% of the intros for you start with like, dude, you have a really cute dog.
Yeah.
Like, and that's always an intro for me too, is like when I see a guy with a cute dog. So she also like has this other rule where it's like, So nothing superficial, except you can want him to be wealthy. That's the other thing. Because she sent us home with a wild article, which we will tweet from the Please Advise account, because absolutely everyone needs to read this article from 2007 that she sent us home with, which is about finding a rich man, which made me like lol, especially because it was written right before the economic collapse. But
did she write it? It was her article?
No, it was like some person who writes for Money Magazine.
And like
something.
In 10 years, she couldn't find a new one?
No. I mean, I think that just this for Susan as like her, like, he's just not that into you or something. Like,
right.
This is like her,
it's her ultimate.
This is her source text,
got
right?
It.
So she says to one woman in the audience, she's like, now, she's like, who do you call when you've had a bad day and you want to vent? Because this is like her trying to tell us how to find the non-superficial, right? She goes, my friend Kathy. And she's like, and why do you call Kathy? And she's like, well, she's empathetic and she listens and she makes me feel good. And Susan was like, that's what she wanted in a man. She's like, you want someone who's empathetic, who listens, and who makes you feel good. Those are non-superficial traits. And I'm sitting there being like a person that's kind of internal. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I'm like, if I have a bad – okay, so – my guy, if I have a bad day, I don't call anyone, right? Like, sometimes I just want to, like, go in my room and punish myself or wait till I go to therapy and, like, complain about how unmanageable and terrible my life is to my therapist. Sometimes I tell Christina, but there's a lot of times that I do not tell anyone. And so I raised my hand and I said, what if when you get upset, you don't want to call anyone? And she goes, oh, well, you're fucked. And I was like – and I go – that's okay. I'm absolutely fine with
that. That's fine.
That's absolutely fine.
Great.
But like, I mean, that's a very narrow example, Susan. And so what I should probably stop saying her name, but what I will say is that it did take me an embarrassingly long time to realize that she doesn't speak in statements. She speaks in non-statements that mm-hmm. make you feel like you've just heard something. But by the time you realize that it was actually nothing, it's like you've moved on to a new subject.
Right.
So she says, what did she say? Oh, that was so good. Wait a minute. Oh, so essentially every question I realized came back to you have to pay for a 10 series with her, 10 like one-on-one session, like package, and it costs $7,900.
Oh my goodness.
Every single tip that she had ultimately came back to spending an insane amount of money. Like, so for all of these women out in Annapolis, Maryland, what they're supposed to do if they want to meet a man is join a VIP concierge service that will send you to movie premieres and VIP charity auctions right. and gallery openings.
Is this woman married?
Susan is married. And,
to a rich man?
Yeah. And when, okay. And we also found out that she declared bankruptcy because she told us how to like stalk men. So Amy got LexisNexis and did like a whole background check on her.
Oh my God.
And Susan had totally declared bankruptcy and her real name is like Denise.
Oh dang. Oh my gosh.
She's a fucking con artist.
Yeah. So I have a follow up question for you, Molly.
What?
And then we should probably get some calls or something.
Yes.
If you were to run a dating seminar, what would be like the hitch of it or the theme? And Frankie, you can answer this question too.
Oh, goodness.
Don't compromise on anything.
Yeah.
That would be my whole thing. Compromise on anything. Like, get your money up and then make a decision from there. But, like, don't, like... You know, I think it's very important for anyone, but especially for a woman to have options. And I feel like you work for options. And I feel like when you get stuck with someone and then from there feel like you need to change for them or that things about you aren't right. I'm okay with some types of compromise, but in general, the idea of compromise in a relationship freaks me out.
Right. Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I know a lot of shit about a lot of shit, but the one thing I know nothing about is dating. So I'm comfortable enough to say that. My only piece of advice in that regard is don't meet men on Twitter.
Do you date?
No.
You're on a hiatus?
I've been on a hiatus. I don't know. I come from a really, really small town where like all of my siblings were either married or engaged by the time they were my age. All my cousins, same thing. I like thought I was gonna marry my high school boyfriend very seriously. So
didn't
like
we all.
Right. So like my approach to dating post that was like not great. And it's just like, I mean, I can sit here and be like, dating in New York, like dating in New York is a pain in the ass. But like, I didn't even try. I was just kind of like, I'm the type of person who like, I fall into a lot of like situationships.
Yeah.
Like I always pull dudes.
That's a good word.
I always pull dudes out of the friend zone, which like sounds like it's going to be good. And it never is.
Fuck that.
It never is.
Done with that.
Yeah.
I've learned some lessons. I've learned too many lessons in the last like month. What?
I said, I'm surprised. I feel like Frankie's probably a catch.
I mean,
no, I'd love to be. You probably freak people out.
I do. I do freak. And people tell me that.
Are you
freak
dating
them
older?
Because no, I feel like that's you probably what I might need to do.
Yeah, because you have your shit rules too much together for a 24-year-old. No. I don't know what you're
right.
Which way you sway,
do you know
but
what was
like,
funny?
Yeah. You have your shit together more than most people in your
good,
age.
Good, I'm glad
and
to hear that.
But that's scary to people because it like it has that thing. It's kind of like imposter syndrome where you're looking at people and you're like, I should. What's going on in my life? I should be there.
Exactly.
I was thinking today that maybe the perfect person for me to date is a 24-year-old.
Really?
Yeah, like maybe I should just be done trying to make these 36-year-old men that are fucking...
They're broken.
Drowning in their broken emotional oceans. Right. To, maybe, you know?
Raise a boyfriend?
Yeah, like I'm not... Why? What am I like... No, maybe I should just like... Get some 24-year-old that worships me. My friend Stacy swears by that.
Ooh, she's I love
like,
that.
She's like, it's amazing. Like, you should
she's
date
She's like,
down.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like, he's, like, obsessed with me. Like, you know, at some
the
point.
The sex is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's smart. Maybe we need to switch. Maybe I need to try out some 36-year-olds.
None of your fucking dicks work. No, don't. Honestly, you're too young to give up on sex.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So let's take some phone calls. It's true. Their dicks don't work.
Hey, Miles. Christina and the Please Advice. Yes. My name is Bobby. I'm from Massachusetts, currently living in Springfield, going to grad school. I called a few days ago in a drunken stupor, but I did have a question and needed some advice. How do you feel about people living in Los Angeles that are not in the entertainment industry? I'm looking to go into higher education and working at a college and university and thinking about Los Angeles, but I wasn't sure how great it is for people not in the entertainment industry. Please advise. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. This is episode 127, right?
Yes.
Bobby, you might want to refer to one of the last 126 episodes of this podcast in which I said people who move to LA who don't want to be in this business are fucking insane. and this is the worst place to move. Go to San Diego.
So like, you mean like the entertainment industry and media?
Yeah, like adjacent. Right. Like you're here for a reason. This is a place where content is created and put out to the world. That is a form of entertainment, especially like, and it will be for forever to go to come. I will say though, just JK, kind of, because I think that you, well, first of all, you should know that the superintendent of Massachusetts schools used to be the superintendent of Los Angeles schools. So if you have any sort of connection there, you would be able to go into education here. And I think that LA is in great need of great teachers. I do know that it's probably, unless you wind up at a private school, which is a whole different animal.
He said higher education, right?
So that higher means like, education, okay. The colleges,
got
whatever.
Got it.
But like, where is he going to work? Like USC?
Yeah.
UCLA? Glendale Community College?
Yeah, there's Long Beach and like CalArts and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I've lived here for 2.5 whole weeks, so like, I don't want to come across as an LA expert by any means. But I guess my question would be like, what's the motivation if you don't want to be in the entertainment industry and you're from the other side of the country? Like, what's drawing you out here? And
honestly,
like,
better the gay
weather?
Scene, sunshine, you know. But that said, like, it's like
vibe.
I would also
good
say
marijuana.
Stay away from maybe San Francisco because it's very expensive.
Right. Oh, God.
And the weather isn't as good.
And the weather isn't as – the weather is bizarre and upsetting in San Francisco, and I actually do not understand the city.
Right.
And I feel like every time I go there, everywhere is shut down. Like, there's – you can't go into any of the stores. And I've gone on weekends, weekdays. I'm not sure who San Francisco is for, to be perfectly honest. But San Diego is a great city. I think that you could wind up in the OC or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to live in LA, do whatever the fuck you want, man. Like, just make sure you come out here and you spend some time. I would recommend having a friend out here.
Definitely.
Before you move, whether it be someone that you meet online or someone that you already know, get back in contact with them or make sure that you're strengthening your friendship because LA is a lonely city to wander around in if you don't know people. Although I imagine a school environment would be a great place to meet people.
Right.
So
I think like finding a school that you really, really want to work for and really believe in, because that's, you know, if you come out here and you don't really have much else to fill your time, like you're going to want that to be like a happy place. So,
yeah.
And, I mean, I don't I know very little about higher education aside from my own personal experience, and I had a very atypical college experience. So I think finding, you know, a university that you feel really good about is step one, if that's like in LA or surrounding.
What made it atypical?
So I graduated from Penn State, but I transferred schools like technically four times. So I went to a different college campus all 4 years of school, and I changed my major twice and still somehow graduated in 4 years. And I don't remember like a single thing I learned.
What was your journey? So you started where?
I started at Arcadia University, which is right outside of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was general communications major. I went to Arcadia because it's the number one study abroad school in the United States.
Okay.
And I did a spring study abroad program through them. And then transferred. I wanted to transfer to like just a different, bigger school that specifically had broadcast journalism, because I was 100% sure that at this point in my life I'd be sitting behind a news desk and like working for CNN. So
that you're not.
Yeah,
I work in broadcast journalism. It's awful.
Yeah, it's very stuffy. I was very different then. So Penn State gave me this big ass scholarship, but they were like, you can only have it if you go to one of our branch campuses. Penn State has 26 branch campuses in Pennsylvania. So I went to Penn State York, which was like an hour away from where I grew up. They didn't have like campus housing. It was a commuter campus. So I lived like, at the age of 19 in my own apartment, way more responsibility than I was probably ready for, but it just happened. And then I went abroad for a year, and I went to the University of Waikato in Hamilton, New Zealand. And then I came back and went to Penn State, Maine, which is like one of the biggest schools on the East Coast. It's got like 43,000 undergrad.
Like M-A-I-N or M-A-I-N-E?
M-A-I-N.
Okay.
It's just like, it's the main Penn campus, State campus. Okay. Yeah. It's like, it's in State College, Pennsylvania. It's like smack dab in the middle. Yeah.
Dude, were you there for the Sandusky scandal?
I was at Penn State York for the Sandusky scandal, which was very interesting because like Penn State, Maine, like kids rioting in the streets, flipping over news trucks, doing this, doing that. Penn State York, like we found out about it and we were just kind of like, oh fuck. But like there was a different
culture.
And I mean, Penn State's an amazing school. And since I've graduated, I've gotten to like go back and like, you know, talk to some classes and talk about social media. And it's been really, really cool. And I love that I went there and everything. But I'm not like a bleed blue and white. Like, I could give two shits about Penn State football. Like, I'm not like
I had a lot of friends who went to Penn State. And I would say that during that happening, like, they were definitely like, oh, fuck, that's our school. But right. It wasn't because they're like, oh, that's my sports.
Right. You know, and I knew some people who were just like, you know, defending Joe Paterno to the ends of the earth and doing this, doing that. But it's like, you know, a lot of old white dudes did a lot of fucked up shit. And like, you can't like, just because you love your school and you love the sport of football doesn't mean it like makes it okay. But I was working, I was an intern at like an NBC affiliate in Lancaster, Pennsylvania during the Sandusky trial. So I got to go like to the trial. And it was one of the craziest things I've ever experienced. It was just like,
didn't he like die before, like didn't he like drop dead?
Joe
like,
Paterno died.
Okay. Yeah
he
And actually Sandusky's adopted son got arrested for
really also, recently,
like child
sake.
Yeah, it's insane.
You know, I went to Boston College during the Catholic Church scandal, and Boston College bought out, I think they bought St. John's Seminary, which is like a very big seminary, and they bought it out for, I think, $75 million in the middle of me being a student there. And I was a student fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And the rhetoric around campus was incredibly downplayed about what was going on in reality in the Catholic Church.
Right.
It wasn't something that we talked about in class.
It's the first time I remember hearing the phrase echo chamber.
Yeah, it wasn't something that we it was not something that we even, like, I mean, you don't, like, leave class and, like, decide to have this, like, intellectual conversation about child molestation. Like, right. It was just really not a spoken about thing. And the only way that I was able to really, like, wrap my head around it was doing fundraising and speaking to alums that were like, don't ever fucking call my house again. Like, you guys have used my money to, like, buy out pedophiles.
Right.
And, like, that was, you know, we were given a speech. Like, this is how you're going to have to handle – this is how you're going to have to handle – this is a script, basically. They gave us a script on if someone brings up the church stuff, this is what you have to say. And it's just – it changes – when it's weird when you are so, like, gung-ho for something and then the entire tone of – you being there and supporting a school and being a part of something really changes.
Right. And when I was working on the Sandusky trial, like with the news station that I was working at, like I was an intern. So it was like, you know, half the people you meet could like give two shits about you. And like we're sharing this like Center County has one of the tiniest courthouses like in all of America. And every cable news truck, like Nancy Grace is parked on the front lawn. Like it's a madhouse. And I would just like meet people and like talk to other interns from like ESPN and stuff or whatever. And when people would find out I was a Penn State student, they would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, are you okay? And I'm like, this didn't happen to me, guys. Like, this isn't, and like, but that was like the attitude. And it was so like, just like grimy to me that so many Penn State students were taking it so personally when it's something that's so much bigger than them. And just like, it has to do with the school. Cause obviously without the school, without the football program, none of this would have happened. It's a lot of money and power and politics. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, you know, fuck your school spirit. Like, this affected people's lives in a lot of irreparable ways.
Did you see Happy Valley?
No,
it's really good. It's really, really good. It's on Netflix and it's a documentary about the scandal and you get to see a lot of different sides of it. Like, for example, like one of the sides that kind of like blew my mind the most was this kid who wound up transferring out of the school because he felt like the sports department was ruined. And that's why he went to the school in the first place, was because he wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, vibe.
Yeah. But there's so many like legacy kids whose like parents and grandparents, like even if they don't play a single sport, it's just like they go and they get season tickets and that's their whole world. And like, I love State College as a town. Like I was a workaholic all through college and I like worked full time. I supported myself. So I like, all my friends were townies. They were just people I worked with. And like, there's such a different community there outside of Penn State football.
Yeah.
So it's just, but my first job out of college was working at a radio station there. I co-hosted and produced a morning talk shows, so that's like very like, you know, Penn State football was our biggest sponsor. It's where all the money's coming from. So it's just like, it's such an interesting dynamic. I've never experienced anything like it.
Yeah.
But back to Bobby.
Yes, Bobby.
Yes. I think, what if he worked as like, if he did want to kind of be in the industry adjacent, he could be a tutor to people, to like child actors.
Okay, that sounds like a fucking nightmare. I mean, that's an idea, but that's, I mean, he says pretty clearly, like, I don't want to work in the entertainment industry.
Right.
I mean, I just want, I want to know why he wants to move here. It sounds to me like he has an agenda, like, and I don't mean that in like a bad way. I mean, it sounds like there's a reason why he wants to live here in particular, and I hope it's just more than the weather. If it's just the weather, there's plenty of other places to live in the state that have beautiful weather and colleges. But also, big question, why are you moving from the college capital of the world, Massachusetts, to go into higher education?
Yeah. It might be very competitive there for tenure like and stuff like that.
Possibly, but there's also way more schools. But I don't know. Whatever. It's up to you, Bobby. Do whatever you want to do. I mean, I would never live here. If I could do anything in Austin, I would do it.
Friggy, so you've been here for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks like and change. I love it so far. I mean, honestly, I've been working a ton. I didn't have a place to live when I came out here, so I was kind of like scrambling trying to get that together. I bought a car yesterday, so.
What'd you get?
I got a Volkswagen Tiguan.
Yeah.
I'm really in love with it.
Volkswagens are cool.
Her name's Twiggy. So, yeah, I mean, I've been super busy, but I've been loving the in-between. My days feel a lot longer. That's the biggest difference from New York, I think.
There's more sunlight here.
And I just feel like I accomplish more, just like not having to, because in New York, like, you have to plan your entire day at 7:30 in the morning. Like, if you want to go to the gym that night, you got to take that stuff with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything just, you have to plan more, and, you know, everyone's an alcoholic and there's nothing to do except for go to the bar. So it's like,
I was just saying that to someone the other day. I was saying that to my friend Max yesterday. He was like, would you ever move to New York? I was like, I would die in a month.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not allowed to be in a place where they serve you until 4 a.m. and you don't need a car. I was like, the only thing I have going for me is that you get cut off at 2 a.m. and then I have to pay for Ubers. Like, that's all I have going for me. New York is way too much of a responsibility for me.
Yeah, it's intense.
Bobby, good luck. Figure it out. We're going to take a quick break and then we're going to take our next call. Hopefully not the sloppy Bobby call.
Hi, Malls. This is Caroline. I live in the Bay Area and I am 28. My sister is 3 years younger than me and she is a teacher. And unfortunately, when she was in high school, she had this really terrible, malicious post put up about her on the Dirty. And I did just hear another answer that you had provided to someone about, like, revenge porn via Snapchat and wanted to kind of follow it up. So definitely, you know, the images on the Dirty aren't that bad, but her full name is there. Photos of her there, and the things that are said are just really gross, really terrible. You know, saying she'll sleep with anyone, you know, calling her out for having an abortion, saying that, you know, she's stretch marks on her boobs, just saying that just all kinds of really disgusting stuff. And so she does live in Arizona, like a previous caller. And, you know, I've tried to get it taken down, but I'm just kind of like wondering if you have any advice for someone who's been like, has their name on the internet and, you know, is worried about professional consequences, or personal consequences, because it is actually kind of easy to find it if you just search her name and then, you know, her state or her city. So just like, what advice do you have? The reason why this has like come up again, we had almost forgotten about it, is because, some kind of mean moms at school found it, and then it was a bit of a gossip piece, and she even needed to, like, have a sit down with the principal. And, you know, I think it's all washed out, it's all shaked out, but the thing is about being a teacher is that every single year you have all new parents that you're meeting, and it's very possible that something like this could happen again. So, yeah, this could definitely just also, you know, lead into how do you deal with, yeah, public shaming. Thank you so much, Miles. Love the podcast. Love you. I really hope that your burn on your face is better. I'm so sorry that happened. Sounded like something I would do. Okay, bye.
Don't burn your face, girl. It's better. Thank you. My hand is now the burnt one, but I got this amazing cream. You guys just, if you get burnt really badly, go to the fucking dermatologist. Don't dick around.
Don't look on Pinterest for like burn solution.
No. And by the way, everyone's just like, go out to your yard. Everyone keeps saying like, put aloe on it. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is in my aloe. Like, who knows if the guy who lived here before me buried a body under that thing.
Rub coconut oil.
Yeah, it's like, and also, like, by the way, NO, like, you're not supposed to put everyone who said put Neosporin on it, you're an idiot. You're not supposed to put Neosporin on a burn. Anyway, moving forward, go to the dermatologist, because I sat around for a week with a piece of raw skin hanging off my hand. They gave me a cream, and within literally 24 hours, overnight, it was 70% better. So just go to the doctor. If you don't have health insurance, figure it out. But you probably do still have health insurance. So anyway, okay, so this is my question, right? Okay, is this the sort of thing, because I know there's things as like reputationdefender.com mm-hmm. and stuff like that. You can get certain things scrubbed from the internet. Is this something that can apply? Can that sort of thing be used for something like this, do you think? Like the Dirty in particular is such a – they're so staunch about making sure that their freedom of speech is intact.
Right,
Is that something that you can
– So I'm not sure. I know there are companies that can like scrub social media and like things that show up in search terms to kind of like help you mm-hmm. get stuff that you don't want taken off the internet. This might have to be escalated to a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And we actually – when we had that caller about the sexual harassment at the car dealership a couple – weeks ago, we actually had an Arizona lawyer, write into us offering to help her and saying that, like,
have you
she
put
can
them in
do-
touch?
I did put, I sent it to her, like, whether yeah. or not oh, they nice. Engage with each other, that was up to the caller.
Arizona
but
fucking sucks.
I
no
did.
Offense, lawyer.
But I was gonna say, if
thank
that
you if you got me off when I got arrested.
I know that lawyer listens to this, so if he wants to call back with advice for this, we would air it. But yeah. I think she might have to talk to a lawyer about it. But there are definitely things she can get scrubbed on from the internet.
Here's one thing that I'm thinking, though. Okay, this is a very relevant thing that she went through. This is something that any one of her students could go through and that right. several of her students probably will go through. And I wonder if there is anything, if your sister can do this, if the school is okay with it or whatever, if there's a way for her to address this and say, when I was a teenager, something absolutely horrific was put up on the internet about me. It's untrue. It's damaged my reputation.
I sent a picture
to the wrong person. Information got into the wrong hands about someone. False information about me was exposed. It's no one's your sister can deny or not deny the abortion thing if she wants. It's no one's fucking right to know that
right.
was a choice she made. So if that's something she wants to bring up with the student, she can or cannot. But I do think that there would be some sort of value in potentially an assembly about this to kind of get ahead of it and to say, like, there's a chance you're going to find this out about your teacher. There's a chance that, like, this could happen to you. Like, this
yeah.
is a very common thing. You see who I am. You deal with me every day in school. You know I'm a good person and this happened to me. So that's something that's, you know, both useful for male and female students, I think, for anyone. I think that that's a very – I think even for other teachers to kind of have an understanding of
yeah.
what kids are facing online. Like, as we discussed earlier – you know, like just growing up in this climate, the bullying that goes on now is like insane. And
absolutely.
There's no way that several of her students won't face something very similar to this. While that'd be a very bold move and like probably something that you could even segue into a TED Talk. Like, I think that there is, if I think there is something to owning this if you want to own it, and if it would be, if you feel that the community that you're in is open enough to understanding something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that there could be some call to action to fire your sister for owning something
right.
that she was a victim of.
Yeah, yeah, she's a victim.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know much about Arizona, but I know like certain states
not great.
Literally have revenge porn like laws at this point. So exactly. like if there's I think getting in touch with a lawyer, especially, you know, if this guy can work something out and do it, you know, for free, that'd be great. But like, you know, even just figuring out what your rights are. I'm not super familiar with the dirty, and it's kind of like insane to me that like websites like this are still allowed to happen. But like if there's any chance, so the dirty, like some random guy can just put it up and then it's there.
Basically, I think it's like, if you have a Facebook account, they can go into your, the way that they've gotten around it. I think this is the site that they did it. If it's not the dirty, it's one very similar, but uh-huh. the way that they've been able to get around it is to have the content come from a third party site. Like, for example, Facebook, where you have really intact freedom of speech laws. And I think that that's how they got around not necessarily being the publisher as much as a curator of this right. type of information.
Right.
And so you can post pictures of people in, I mean, you can take them from your own profile. So let's say someone sends you like an ass shot or something that's like somehow okay by Facebook standards.
Mm-hmm.
Like they will, like you post that to your profile and you can upload it through there.
Right.
But it does, like, it'll be like, don't trust like Jane Jones from, you know, Lansing, Michigan, because she has herpes and right. she fucked my brother and she had an abortion with, you know, two different guys in 1 year, and she will sleep with anyone in town and she loves ass play.
Right.
Like they could write anything like that about her. Mm-hmm. And like it could be as intimate or, you know, just kind of foul as they want it to be. And it's these things live online. Like
right.
I was Googling someone recently, actually, and I thought I was looking at a gossip article about, like, a kind of famous person or something. And then I realized, like, oh, I'm on the dirty. Like,
right.
This isn't even real. Like, this is just a website that, like, perpetuates nasty rumors about people.
Yeah.
That's my nightmare. It's like a huge nightmare. Yeah. That's a nightmare.
And I totally get, I mean, I'm the baby in my family, but I totally understand. Like, if this happened to me, my sister would probably be taking it on this seriously as well. I mean, I would love to hear from the person this is happening to and just kind of get, like, you know, how she feels, her perspective. Because if it happened to me, I don't know. I feel like I would almost wait and just because, like, I mean, the internet's so huge and so much happens and, like, yeah, you. If anything, honestly, I would tell this girl, like, start a blog, start a bunch of shit that'll pop up before this if someone Googles your name. Like, go on a bunch of podcasts. Like, do some, yeah, get your SEO up, girl. But, like, I mean, if the other side of it, I think if I did think it was going to come up, if I thought that, like, my students' parents were going to Google it and it was going to come up, I think it's, you know, either, like, an email at the beginning of the school year or, depending on the age of your students, just, like, hey, like, let's sit down and talk about, like, first of all, respect and boundaries within relationships, because mm-hmm. you're all children and you're all thinking with your genitals. And
they are second, high school students. This right. is when this is happening.
Yeah, so I think that's a perfect opportunity to talk about, like, consent, photos, you know, respect, mutual respect, and then, you know, how to handle breakups in a responsible and calm way. And then also just, like, your rights to what's going on the internet, and, you know, that those things are permanent, but just kind of, I mean, if this happened to me and if I was in the situation, honestly, what I would do is, like, make a video and be like, this is what happened, blah, 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 and then title that video whatever so that it would come up at the same time, because videos are go higher in search. So that they would have to click on, like, someone would rather probably hear that girl, like, talk about it herself. And I just want to say that, like, I'm a 32A cup, and I've been a 32A cup since I was in the 8th grade, and I have stretch marks on my boobs. So, like, every, like, boobs have stretch marks. Yeah. And any dude who doesn't understand that, like, any deserves to be body. Maliciously putting things on the dirty.
Okay, one thing I want to say about high school boys and high school girls is that they handle breakups very, very differently, especially when sex is involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that women get a bad reputation. Young girls, teenagers in particular, get a bad reputation for being incredibly over-emotional and for, you know, doing everything from threatening to commit suicide to not leaving their room to starving themselves to spreading nasty rumors to doing whatever. But there's something with the way that men handle breakups that's unique at that age. And it is more emotional. And yeah. It's more emotional in a more harmful way. You know, when my high school boyfriend and I broke up, I, you know, I kind of just stopped talking to him. I was like, done. I wanted to be single before I went to college, and I wanted to spend the summer at my grandparents' beach house and like enjoy my time with them.
Right.
He started fucking one of my friends. So it's just different. They handle things differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to keep in mind. To your point though, of making a video, like as a public, I'm assuming public school teacher, mm-hmm. anything she does, and I'm sure you know this, both of you know this, it has to be run through the principal.
Right.
This isn't just something where you can put up like your easy A confessional or whatever, yeah. and have it be cool. Like right. That's not necessarily going to be cool with the school. Especially if like you are identifying yourself as a teacher from that school district, mm-hmm. that has the potential to go viral. I think what I'm more saying is that maybe there can be an insert conversation within the school.
Yeah.
Maybe this can be a something that you spearhead, because we live in a world where before we know it, one of our presidents, I mean, obviously our president is incredibly problematic, but before right. we know it, there's going to be a video on YouTube of one of our presidents like smoking salvia or something.
Right. Or like a sex tape. Well, or, I mean, there was already
pictures of like Obama smoking J's. Like.
Yeah. But like, it's going to be like,
there's going to be a president with a sex tape.
We're getting to a point where more people than not are going to have stuff out there about them that right. makes that is unflattering, and that people are going to have to get over and treat as youthful mistakes.
Right. And I mean, the one thing that's to her advantage is that, like, I mean, I get her sister's point that, like, every year you get new students and you get new parents and parents are nosy and blah, blah, blah. So, like, that's, like, a kind of a unique part of this that throws it. But, like, you know, the 24-hour news cycle is almost to the advantage. Like, you know, every time Malia Obama, like, picks up a bong, we hear about it. And then a couple days later, no one cares anymore. So, I mean,
right.
I think, you know, as much as this kind of is like a Groundhog's Day nightmare where, like, once a year she might have to deal with this again, you know, I think definitely – working with the school. It sounds like she's already had a conversation with the principal about it.
And she did get called in to talk with the principal. Yeah. Yeah. And one thing to remember about Arizona is, by and large, it is a very conservative state.
Mm, yeah.
And so that is one area where I just worry about, like, yeah, this could creep up on her for a really fucking right. long time. And it could be a really big problem, because people are incredibly conservative there. They're incredibly religious. Mm-hmm. And if this is a private high school, like, that either makes it way better or way worse,
right?
Depending. So I just, God, I feel so bad about this. And I do want to say that this is something that I also took issue with at the matchmaking seminar. Was I said, you know, Susan was instructing us to do like background checks on our dates, and she was teaching us how to do that. And one thing she said that was fucking hilarious was, she was like, another thing to keep in mind here, ladies, is that we are in this area of the country. So you may be dating someone in the CIA and have no idea, and they're reading your emails. And I'm like, who in this
Susan!
Room? Who in this room, and what dorky sweater set, what woman with the saddest eyes in the world in this room is dating someone in the CIA and doesn't right. know it? But so one thing that she said was, you have to be really like diligent about doing background checks. And I raised my hand and I said, you know, I personally think it's gauche to Google people in general, yeah. let alone do a background check on them. I said, but let's just say I did, and I'm dating a guy and he comes up as a sex offender. But of course, what it was that he did was he peed in the bush when he right. was 16 and he got slapped with that. Do you then ask that person about that? What if they got a DUI when they were 18?
Yeah.
Is that something that you hold against them? And she's like, it's not the one DUI you're looking for. It's the three DUIs. But I do think that, like, she didn't really – I don't think that the thing that she really understand is that people make youthful indiscretions.
Right.
And they just – they're just going to be more permanent now. Like, who knows what our fucking parents did?
Exactly.
You know, oh my God, just went off of the fumes of whatever they told us. Like, oh, no, I never smoked pot. And then you realize, like, oh, wait, my mom totally smokes pot.
Right.
You just listen. But now there's evidence of everything, especially if you're a person that is like you or I.
Yeah, and everything's documented and everything. You know, there's a trail for everything. So, I don't know. This is a tough one. It's not something that I feel – like, I have a lot of grounding to give advice on, to be honest. But I definitely feel for her. I think Arizona, I definitely agree with you, is probably a lot more conservative. But I do think that, like, the national conversation around this is kind of shifting. And she has that to her advantage as well. And, you know, I would just try and turn it into a teachable moment. Try and get the administration behind you on it and be like, this is an opportunity to educate. Because, like, you never know. Like, this could make a huge difference to, like, an entire class of, like, you know, 10th grade boys, and make them think twice about, you know, like, like asking for and receiving those photos, and then what happens to them after that. Like, there was, I've never taken a naked photo of myself in my life because of this.
Yeah.
And
same.
And I just know so many girls that it happened to, like, even when I like was in junior high and high school. And it's just like, and it sucks because I think that, like, had it happened now, when the conversation, the tone's a little bit different, it wouldn't be so, like, because she is the victim here, and like, there's no doubt about that. So I think that, you know, trying to find, like, sympathetic people in within the administration, other teachers, whatever, would be what I would do.
I will actually say this. I want to come clean about something. I always say I've never taken a nude picture of myself, which is true. Mm-hmm. I personally have never taken a nude photo of myself. Mm-hmm. I do have an ex-boyfriend that took many nude pictures of me. However, I also have nude pictures of him. This is my secret horror. I'm pretty sure that he would never, ever, ever do that, mm-hmm. because it would make him look horrible.
Right.
But it is something that occurs to me on a semi-regular basis, is yeah. one that, like, I consented to something that is a personal rule for me, that I do not engage in that sort of thing.
Right.
And I didn't really do it. I mean, I did it probably thinking that I was going to be married to that person.
Right.
And also, just because, like, I don't know, like, we were probably drunk and having fun and, like, just whatever. But, like, I do – there is a nude photo of me, at least, that exists in the world out there somewhere, and it feels scary and very out of my control, and right. I'm glad that none of it exists on any of my hardware, because you just can then just thank God it's on a memory stick somewhere and mm-hmm. fucking God knows where. But, like, it just – yeah, it's not – it's terrifying, and that's why I – that's not why I always preach. I've been preaching this long before that even happened, but it's why I always preach. Just don't do it, you guys. It's too easy. It's too easy for someone to fucking dox your phone or right. connect to your shit on a plane. And
don't do it. And if you, like, you know, really have to, don't put your face in it. Yeah. Just don't.
If you really
don't make
have
it identify. I have a friend. Oh, I'm obsessed with her. She's like one of my like the way she is with men, I find so inspiring. But she, like, takes naked photos of other people off the internet and sends them to dudes, like, pretending it's her, like, mm-hmm. all the time. And they get so into it, and it's so, she'll, like, send me screenshots of the conversations, and they're, like, eating out of her hand. And I'm like, that's smart as hell.
For a while, you were posting, like, screen grabs of, like, inappropriate snaps you were
oh,
getting.
Yeah, I get dick pics on the reg.
Yeah.
On the regular on Snapchat. Yeah, I have a chain. It's been over a year now. I just have, like, a chain on Twitter that I respond to. I, like, screen, because so many of these guys just, like, are taking advantage of the fact that they feel like Snapchat is so anonymous, mm-hmm. but they're putting their photos, like, their face in their profile pictures, and they're using the same username that they use, like, on Twitter, or they're using yeah. their first name and their last name. So, like, literally, I just give them a Google, I search their name on Twitter in quotes, and then, like, if they're on there, I tag them, whatever. I've had a couple people delete their accounts over it, but it's just so, like, that was my way of just, like, because I love having my snaps open, and I love being able to talk to the people who follow me, and like, I that means a lot to me, and I don't want to cut that off.
I think that social media is supposed to be social, yes. and I think that when people cut that off, it's literally just an output.
Right.
And that's not, to me, the nature of what that is supposed to be at all.
Exactly. And that's not what makes it fun for me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
I've met some amazing friends through Snapchat, actually.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's just like, I didn't want – this was my way of, like, kind of taking the power back in that situation, is just kind of, like, putting these guys on. And I mean, I immediately block the person, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go back and forth and be like, hey, just so you know, like, the thing that you're doing to me right now is sexual harassment in a very real way. Also, like, I don't want to see your dick. No one yeah. wants to see your dick. That's why you're sending it to strangers.
Yeah.
On the internet. So it's just like,
have you ever had like an actual dialogue with someone that
yeah
that ended up in a positive or negative way?
I've had one or two people like apologize and yeah being like, oh, I'm so sorry, or I've had a lot of people be like, oh, I was trying to send that to someone else, and I'm like, no, you weren't.
Yeah
you just didn't get the response that you wanted. But I also have had some interactions where I've like, you know, like, let it really get to me and like, given them, like, a heated response, and you can tell that they're getting off on that. And that's
oh,
when I'm
like, oh, of course. That's what it's supposed to incite anger and get a reaction out
right,
of you.
Right, which is just so twisted and just so, like,
and
beyond.
And it's frustrating because it's, like, it's now on you. You're now further burdened to right. not give them what they want.
Right.
It's upsetting. Now, here's another question I have. This is off topic, but it's sometimes we go around on circles on this, mm-hmm. on this pod. So I've had one dick pic sent to me on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
One dick pic ever, and it was the one on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll get things like, you have no idea how bad I want to fuck you, or something, like, from some
Didn't
guy.
Didn't you get a lot of creepy stuff about your mom? I remember you saying
a lot
that.
A lot of guys were like, yeah, a lot of creepy stuff, like, you know,
that would get
like,
to
your
me
mom's
too.
Fucking hot. But that's been happening to me.
I mean,
me
your
since
mom is beautiful.
She is, but that's been happening to me since high school, so yeah. like, I'm a little bit more used to it. Like, and also, she lives across the country. She's not usually right. on my internet. So when she pops up, people are like, whoa, that's your mom. Like, even girls do that. So my thing is that I think that either one, people, they don't want to send me dick pics. Like mm-hmm. they're just like, I don't want to dick pic her. But, or there is something about me that is so fucking obviously not going to appreciate a dick pic that people right. don't even fuck with me. And right. I was explaining this to my friend the other day. I've explained this on this podcast before. For some reason, like, I'm the kind of girl that literally no one ever even asks me about anal because they just know, like, I'm not going to be receptive to yeah. it and the conversation's going to end. And I don't know, like, why does that happen to you? Like, why does that happen to you all the time? Like, what is it? Is it because you're open and friendly or innocent, or is it because people don't think you're going to yell at them, or like, what is it?
I think there's two parts to it. One, so like, I wasn't like a super early adopter on Snapchat, but I was like everyone started Snapchatting probably within like the past year or so. And I was like going hard on it like 2 years ago, to the point that like my friends from high school were like, why are you talking to your phone? Like, what's going on? Like, mm-hmm. are you bored? Are you okay? So, and because I worked in like digital entertainment and I worked for the Shorty Awards, I was just like around a lot of people who were in that world. And so I got put on a lot of, and I was like running a Snapchat TV show on the Shorty Awards Snapchat account. So, yeah. I was getting put on a lot of like top 10 Snapchatters to follow, like HuffPo, like this, that, whatever. And I was also, put on this website called Ghost Codes, which is now an app that was started by two friends of mine. And that website, it was basically, cause there's no discovery platform on Snapchat.
I know, it's so annoying.
It's really annoying. It's really hard to like build a following there, which is like a lot of like, when I was doing consulting work, that was like the main thing I was doing, was helping brands figure out how to get people to freaking follow them on Snapchat. But I, got put on this website, like Ghost Codes, and that website really took off in like Eastern European countries and like Middle Eastern countries. So like, I have a huge fan base of people who have no idea what I'm saying. Like, they right. don't speak English.
Yeah.
So like, they just see this girl, like my hair's a different color every 3 days, like whatever. I'm like dance. I'm at music festivals. Like, I'm half naked sometimes, whatever. Like, I'm pretty casual about my body on Snapchat. And so I think there's that piece of it. And then there's the piece where like, because they don't really know who I am and don't even know what I'm saying half the time, they just right. kind of assume, and I was on this website that they found, they like kind of think that I'm this like untouchable celebrity. So I think they think I'm not going to open it or I'm not going to see it. And that part of it's exciting to
right.
them.
Whereas I'm like a more intentional follow. Like, you come to me because you know who I am. Like, you saw my username on Snapchat or something.
Right. Yeah. But it's something, I mean, like, if I like accidentally like put my feet in a Snapchat without thinking about it, I'll get like messages about my feet for 24 hours. What is that?
You might have a wiki feed.
I hope not.
I was very surprised one day when
right
I Googled
now.
Myself only to find
you have a wiki feed?
That there is a gallery of pictures of my feet on the internet.
I don't get it.
It's pictures of Molly Magliere's feet. Because, you know, who doesn't want to look at my goddamn feet?
Right.
It's so weird.
Yeah. No, it's very weird. And it's, you know, it's something that, like, for a while I kind of became known as like that girl who complained about dick pics, and a lot of my friends like, and I was like doing the thing on Twitter. Yeah. And I was doing the thing on Twitter, and a couple of my guy friends who are like also kind of internet people were like, you know, you should start a Tumblr for this so it doesn't like clog up your Twitter feed. And I'm like, it's supposed to clog up my Twitter feed. Like, I want people to see this, that this is happening and that it's not okay. Like, it's not something that I'm just gonna like let happen to me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So Frankie does not have a woo.
Thank God.
Guys, don't start that one.
Great news. Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, I think you have to be a little like older too. Like, the other people I know that have like wiki feeds are like girls that are in their 30s that have been on the internet.
Oh my
doing
God.
Shit for, are you on my wiki feed? Let me see it. Why? It's not fair that you guys are looking at my wiki feed together and I can't see it.
Wags makes a couple of appearances.
Wags. Does Wags have a wiki feed? Oh, goodness. So this looks like they took this mostly from your Instagram. It looks like a lot of Insta pics.
A lot of these started back in the day. Yeah. Like, on some of these used to be from Tumblr. That's when
started. Right.
Wait a minute. That's not my feet. That's a picture of some homeless guy's feet from Long. This is a homeless man's feet in Long Beach. Not a homeless man. He's a barber. He just had the longest toenails I've ever seen. There's me
but
getting my.
But you posted
fucking,
that photo.
Yeah, I posted that photo, and so it must have been categorized as mine.
Wow.
Wait a minute. What?
Wow.
Wait. But where are the really old ones?
Oh, there's Wags.
Oh, ILF in prime position, snuggling up her lovely foot and casting a wary eye. Angus snakes and shoves. What the fuck?
Is that like fan fiction about you and your feet this and your dog?
Dude, there's fucking fanfics about me and Wags.
I love the internet so much, but stuff like this is like makes me just want to log off. I actually am not.
Oh, wait. Hold on. There's a very important sec. People who liked Molly McAleer's feet also liked Reese Witherspoon. Julie Benz.
You got them Reese Witherspoon feet.
Oh my God. Let's look at her feet and see if they're pretty.
Wow. I'm sure she has. Oh wait, my great thing feet. Is fucked up.
So I have this to... is horrifying.
By the way, you're rated 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
At least you have a high score on WikiFeet.
Oh, I have a 4 website out of 5.
I didn't know existed.
How are her feet doing? I mean, I need a close up of those feet.
Yeah, these are just like all her Getty images.
Okay. Okay,
there you go. There's one.
There.
Her feet are like wider than.
I don't get it. I thought that like foot fetish dudes existed solely on the internet. I was a little naive in that. Aspect, and then I like met one IRL and I just like couldn't do it, just didn't get it, didn't know how to communicate.
No, I closed the window and it's like this nacho recipe I've been saving for like 2 weeks.
Got a lot of tabs open. I respect that.
There is an Italian couple who owns a shoe store in Glendale, and sometimes they'll text me and ask me to come in to try on their new shoes because they think that I have the perfect feet for Italian shoes.
Goodness.
Yeah,
it's like that Sex in the City episode.
They're like in love with me, except it's a married couple. they have asked me if I'm single, but I think it's for, I hope it's for their son.
Got it.
Get in touch with the lawyer.
In touch with the lawyer, and thanks, Caroline. Oh, we have a letter. Frankie's going to read our letter.
Love it. I love letters.
It's a short one.
Okay. Hi, Malls. I wish I found you sooner. You're so right. Exes can't be friends because they never were friends. My name is Michelle. I'm 22 from Michigan. I dated a guy who never said he loved me for a year. He broke up with me and wanted to stay friends. Again, wish I found you sooner. Flash forward 2 years and now we're going to Barcelona together. I'm so sorry that I'm laughing.
I laugh at them all the time.
That's okay, fine. Good. He says that he loves me now. We still have a physical relationship, so they're boning. And we're closer than we ever were while dating. Going to Barcelona feels really serious, but we are, in air quotes, just friends. What do you make of this? Please advise.
Okay, wait a minute. So she was with this guy in a relationship for over a year, and he never said, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
They broke up.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to be friends. But they're having a sexual relationship.
Two years later.
He does say I love you now.
He says he's in love with me, which like I've known some dudes who made the distinction.
He says he loves me now.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Okay, but you guys are not together.
But you're going to Barcelona.
And
I got that. So he's fucking other people. Right?
Yeah, I'm confused as to what her question is, because I think she's basically saying, like, Malls, you're right, exes can't be friends, and that's why me and my ex are not friends. We're boning and going to Europe.
We're boning and closer than we ever have been, and he says he loves me now.
But he doesn't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, honey, listen, I've done that too. Like, I had that actually quite notably happen to me with an ex. Didn't want to label it, and you want to know what? He had a fucking secret girlfriend in Amarillo, Texas, who sold medical supplies, so...
Damn.
I'm just going to tell you that much. Like, homeboy was cheating on me for 6 months, and it wasn't technically cheating on me because we were in a relationship.
Together.
Yes,
yeah.
But like, we snuggled together, and I would come over to his house, and we would work together every other day.
Was this
and
the so, Jamaica Me Crazy episode that we, like...
No, that was my high school boyfriend. That was my college boyfriend, actually. And by the way, fucking Jamaica, listen, did I give you the Jamaica update?
No.
So Jeff Latula, my guest that day, told me he knew a girl named Jamaica. And then Jamaica's like, I actually listened to that podcast. And she's like, that wasn't me, though. Listen, Jamaica, you're a fucking pathological liar. You blew my college boyfriend. And now you listen to my podcast. You've probably been Jamaica. Following me for years. No, first you wanted to put my boyfriend's dick in your mouth. And now you want to put my podcast in your ears. And you've been obsessed with me forever. And I know it. And God bless Jeff for protecting your reputation. But from time to time, I will still text him, your friend Jamaica is a pathological liar. So I know you're listening to this. I know you think you got off scot-free. How many white girls named Jamaica are there in Los Angeles? Seriously doubt it. I mean, sorry, that is the most valid point of all of them. Like, can you Google white girls named Jamaica in Los Angeles, please?
I don't think it's going to yield the results you think.
Yeah, I don't know if you can filter Caucasian.
Just put it in quotes. But no, we're going to, listen, I'm going to find you and we're going to have a talk. But no, just... have fun on your trip to Barcelona, but this is not what you think it is.
Right.
And this guy is fucking with you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I had a man recently enter my life. We'll call him Captain Gaslight. It was very upsetting. These people like to fuck with you. They just do. They want to put their weird labels on it and freak right. you out and then act one way and then say another thing. And you know what? When actions and words don't line up, you're dealing with a fucking person. That's crazy. I'm telling you, this man's probably a drug addict and you don't know about it. Bye.
Right. And
that's the end of the answer. Wait, sorry. So what were you going
to
say, Frankie?
I just like going – you seem to have like 1 foot in, 1 foot out because you're like, oh, like Malls, you're so right. Exes can't be friends. But you're also admitting that you're not just friends with this guy. So I just really want to say like – protect your heart going into this European vacation, because like I've never been to Barcelona. It sounds romantic as hell.
I've heard it's the most fun, most romantic city so, in the whole world.
It's pronounced Barcelona. Barcelona.
I don't know if I can make my mouth do that.
I can't do it, and I won't do it.
I hope you eat tapas in Barcelona.
I think that like sorry. This would. I mean, I'll be totally honest. I've been both people in this scenario. Like, I feel like I, you know, kept an ex-boyfriend on the hook for way too long, like in situations like this, yeah. and you know, got to this was actually like hella recent. Got to a point where I was like, all right, I gotta stop. But the thing is that you're going to go on this vacation and like when you're getting on the plane, you're going to be like, oh my God, we're like just friends who bone. But like also he loves me and we have this history. And then you're going to be in this romantic city and it's going to be just you. So he's going to be like holding your hand in public and you're going to be like going on dates and basically being in like a sex cloud or whatever. And then you're probably going to come back to the United States and it's all going to come crashing down around you. So I just want you to be like have so much fun. Use a lot of condoms and have.
Brace yourself.
Yeah.
Though.
Just
for, use for condoms landing. Because he is. Definitely
he's definitely boning other people for sure.
That's the only reason why. Wait, did she say how old she was?
22.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't even want to listen. I don't even want to address this.
Right.
Like, are you serious? I can't even. I mean, God bless.
Right.
Like, just what? I'm
24. I'm not that much older. I try not to be super preachy, but like, I've just, you know, I've done a lot of dumb shit with a lot of dumb guys, and like, I thought I was gonna marry my high school boyfriend. We were together for 3 years, and then we broke up, didn't speak to each other for a year, and then kind of did this like touch and go when we're in the same place, we're together thing for a really long time, and it's just not, it's not healthy, and it's not real.
And I also know this because I too have done devious fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a little sneakster. Like, I've had boys on the side. Mm-hmm. I've, like, totally had back burner bitches. That's what I call them. Like, I just keep them back there. And when I need that, I bring it up to the front. And, like, I'm just afraid that, like, you are a placeholder for when he finds in his metaphorical ocean the better version of himself. That will yield him the girl that he wants. But you guys are 22. Like, there's no way that this can go far anyway. And also, that means you were 20 when you met.
Right.
Like, of course, a 20-year-old boy doesn't know how to say I love you. He's probably said I love you to his high school girlfriend.
His mom.
And was like, and had his life, like, wrecked by his high school relationship. As I said, boys do not react commonly to, like, their first love. And then whoever it is they lost their virginity to, they lose their mind over that shit. No. All right, but have
find
fun.
Someone new.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in Barcelona.
Find a little Barcelona Bay.
Single Girl's Guide to Meeting European Men. You should buy that before you go. Like, seriously. And you should just be reading it on the plane next to him.
Yeah.
And if he has any questions, be like, what? I don't have a boyfriend.
That's true. He can't get mad at that.
That's the other thing, too, is I do love the what? I don't have a boyfriend. Because it just makes someone realize that they've been, like, that they've been basically, like, resting on the fact that you're going to buy their fucking bullshit.
Right.
Not right.
Doesn't
not
work
today.
Just like open
not today.
As soon as you land, just open Tinder and start swiping in front of him. See what happens.
Yes. And by the way, just to everyone once again, if I haven't said it enough times, open Tinder when you leave the country. Open Tinder everywhere. It's just I'm gonna open my Tinder right now.
Do it.
I rejoined Tinder.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Because it's the shit.
And I already regret it.
What?
Because I had I'll see if I can pull up this message that I got. So I got matched with someone. I did that thing yesterday where I was at a bar and I let my friends like match for me.
Oh yeah, a little guest text interaction.
Yeah, and so I matched with some douche named Jared.
Do you just do Tinder or are you on the other apps? How do you feel about the other apps?
I'm on Bumble, but I don't use it. It's too much pressure for me. Like I like a good like swipe and then text and then match and like and then message in 2 weeks sort of thing.
Right.
I'm out check in once every 2 weeks, set up 2 or 3 dates, abandon all those men, and then start over.
Right.
This is the message that I got from Jared.
Oh, that looks long.
Yeah. It says, congratulations. You have matched with Jared. Please select your honest intentions from the following. To proceed with dry and meaningless small talk, please go to settings, delete account.
Oh my God.
To get to know each other better, please respond with your number and a hashtag. To engage in sexual interactions and or dirty talk, please respond with your bra size.
Okay, Jared,
I have not. I have not responded to him.
Jared is, like, what is beyond fuckboy? Like, what is beyond fuckboy? Like, fuckboy
plus. But should I respond to it with something witty? Or should I just be like.
Fuckboy is more clever than that.
Is he even, like, hot enough to be this much of a dick?
No, let me see a pic. I need a pic of Jared. Yeah, I really need
first,
to see.
First photo, shirtless on a boat.
Jesus. I need to see who's
snowboarding. This is rude.
Yeah, no, he's not cute. You, fellas, you have to be a certain level of attractive in order to be that much of a dick. Also, like.
What are you talking about? Like, first of all, like, he is definitely someone's type. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
He's someone's type. Christina, I don't see him. I don't see you two together. No. But I like to slap people with fish. That's a really good. Oh my God, he's an INF.
That's fucking corny.
He's an INTP. No, I know. It is. It's super corny. If you support Biff Tannen as leader of the free world, please get help. Oh, you are so clever.
Enjoys coleslaw on the daily. Like, ugh.
Oh, he loves Chance the Rapper, Radiohead. Radiohead's Creep is one of. Oh, but then the 1975 makes an appearance on his Spotify playlist.
So diverse.
Wow, you've got a really sad life.
I also think it's interesting that Tinder like pulls in all that info too, because it's like it's just such an incomplete. Like what a person is, you just can't figure out from all those things. But I don't know. I don't know.
What I
feel weird about the apps. I can't decide.
Yeah, I don't like. I Bumble's too much pressure for me. But I don't know. I also like. I'm on Raya and I don't use it.
Oh right.
Because it's
is that like same interface everything like the swiping and whatnot?
No, it's wildly different.
Ooh.
Like it's very sleek.
Yeah,
they've even changed it since I've last gone on there.
Right.
I could look at it. I mean, the thing is that.
What is the opening line on your profile? This is something I struggle with because I'm like,
oh, mine's amazing.
Let me see. I don't think
my Tinder profile is amazing. I haven't read this profile.
I think you might have, but I don't think guys spend the time to like actually read the profile. I don't know.
But a lot of them take it very literally, which makes me sad because like in my version of LA, people are clever and fun and funny, and they are clever and fun and funny, and I feel like when a guy takes my Tinder bio seriously, it makes me deeply concerned because it's very, very sarcastic and it freaks me out that, sorry, I have to. Why is this so hard now? What does this mean? Swipe with friends. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to. Oh, God, I just matched with someone. I'm trying to just find my profile. Why are you doing this to me today?
Yeah, the group dating thing I also don't understand on Tinder.
Please, can you disgust me more?
I had a friend in New York who like asked me to do that with her, and I was like, absolutely not. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, it's just
okay,
not something I can do.
This is my bio.
I'm ready.
INFP. I know who I am, and who I am is Jody Sweetin's sister. Close, personal, real, actual family. Please, no questions about my close family relative, Jody Sweetin. I don't know what to say here. Let's get drinks. I like meeting people and avoiding long text exchanges. True.
And you said you've had like crazy Tinder dates as of late, right?
I'm trying to think. Well, I went out with like a divorced dad the other day, which was like, he kind of got me shit-faced at a Clippers game. And then like,
I love being drunk at sporting events.
I mean, I do too. Like, and I couldn't love anything more. By the way, my favorite thing about the NBA, which I totally forgot about, is that they play music as these guys are, like, making their shots.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I was literally about to, like, do a free throw and, like, Cake by the Ocean came on, like, I wouldn't know how to function. But these guys can just, I guess it must be so loud that they can't hear it.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, it's so audible. And I'm like, why is there, like, a clip of like DMX up in here playing for like 10 seconds right now. But I got a little shit faced, and then he had wanted to drive me there, but I said to him like, "Sorry, honey, my mom raised me better than that. I'm not getting in a car with a stranger from the internet. Like, yeah. I'll just like spend the $30 to Uber myself downtown. Thanks for the free Clippers ticket. It was a great game. We had a lot of fun. We actually like meshed pretty well, but like." You know, like, the hat comes off. He's definitely bald.
Right.
Oh, God, he's probably listening to this. Please, God. You know what? Just don't take offense to it. I'm just telling you a factual version of events.
Yeah.
And so,
are you not here for bald guys?
No, I can be here for bald guys. But I just, like, I hate a hatted bald man.
Yeah.
I like a bald
own
man.
Own your baldness.
Yeah, like, just, like, it's not, we don't, we're, if we were in Minnesota, sure, toss a cap over it. I understand your head's chilly. Mm-hmm. But, like, we are, frankly, we're in Los Angeles, California, and there's no need for you to be wearing a baseball cap right now. Just rock that bald-ass head. So, I do. There's, I have no bigger, and I know that's, like, a cliche, but, like, I have no bigger pet peeve than a bald guy. I just, okay, whatever. Anyway. He, being a single dad, like, I was very clear with him up front. I was being very clear with him up front that I did not want to see pictures of his children or even know their name.
Right.
Because I am the daughter of a single parent, and I think it's inappropriate in general to be out there
dating.
It's
very invasive.
But then, you know, I let him drive me home, and he wanted to make out, and we did kiss for a minute, and then, like, you know, 3 days later, I'm in Baltimore, and I wake up on Sunday morning, and it's like, hey, Malls, back from Baltimore yet? What do you think about going out next week? There's a place in Glendale that's just like Benihana. We could go there. And he's like, let me know what days work for you, like, before Wednesday. And I'm like, I'm sorry, it's Sunday. I am 3 hours behind. I'm in Baltimore. I am miraculously not hungover, and I'm unclear how, because I don't drink water, and all I've drank the last 2 days is alcohol. So, like, it was too much, and I didn't respond to him, and then I got the classic, like, gonna try again, like, just want to see, and I wrote back to him, and I just was like, hey, truth be told, like, I felt like you were coming at me with a lot of energy on a Sunday morning, and I was still in Baltimore, and I just wasn't ready to get back to you. I was like, but... Oh, what did I write to him? I'll just read what I wrote.
Is this over text at this point? Like, when do you switch to, like, let's text, or do you stay in Tinder the whole time?
Also, Frankie, I want to hear your Tinder profile.
Oh, goodness. Let's go. I just, I, like, hadn't deleted my account, but I deleted the app, but I did re-download it once I landed in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. just to see what was happening.
You never know what kind of friends you can meet.
You never know. Okay, so mine... My Tinder bio just says smart/cute. Don't Google me. Fuck Donald Trump.
Don't Google me.
Yeah, because
like,
when I
that's
was
meaningful to my heart. I hate it when people are like, I checked out who you were through Facebook.
Right.
And I asked our mutual friend. I'm like, can you just be an adult? Like, literally,
right,
grow
exactly.
a penis and like act as if you have it. Like,
ask me questions about my life.
Exactly. So this is it. Ready? Sunday, 10:34 a.m. Baltimore time. Molly, are you back? Are you and Chris Soules engaged? If not, want to hang? When's maybe? And then
is this all one text or like separate little bubbles?
All one text.
Dang. He spent so long wording this.
Yeah.
Thursday. He definitely did it in the notes app first.
Yeah.
So that the dots wouldn't show up.
Sick. I'm going to be sick. Stop.
Or he put his phone on airplane mode. Yeah. That's a trick.
Oh,
I've done
gonna
that.
I'm going to be sick. Both of you stop. So then he goes, all right, this is on Thursday at 5:09 p.m. All right, one more shot, Colin. Any plans Sunday night? Ever been in that place, Mori Tapan, a.k.a. the low-rent Glendale Benihanas? It could be fun. Let me take you.
He just wants to go. He doesn't even want to date you. He just wants
literally,
someone
wants
to go with
to
him to this fake Benihana.
The Glendale
a.k.a.
Benihanas.
The low-rent Benihanas. Yeah,
just
I'm
go
dying
to Benihanas.
To go to, like, also, like, that's always a great way to present a date to a girl. Want to go somewhere low-rent? No. If I want to go somewhere low-rent, I'll go do coke at Thai Angel at 4 in the morning. So he goes, it's fun. Let me take you. I could do Monday, too. And I wrote, hey, sorry I didn't get back to you the other day. I was because I was still in Baltimore and just waking up. And I was like, quote, that's a lot of energy for me right now. Unfortunately, my entire next week is booked, but I might be able to do something the following week. Also, you should know, in general, I kind of like to ride my dates out as much as possible. I feel like it's a lot to see someone you just met once a week. And if I'm being totally honest, I don't normally kiss guys on the first date. And I don't think that if I hadn't had that many cocktails, I would have done that. And so I'm just feeling a little bit like I need to be very clear with you about how important it is to take it very, very slow for me. I would rather learn how to be your friend first. And he wrote, I hear you. I'm new AF to this. Dying. I'm new AF. He's 38.
He's adorable.
I hear ya. I'm new AF to this shit, so forgive my awkward enthusiasm. I'm ordinarily fairly chill. I had fun though hanging, so tell me if/when might be good for number two. Also, do you know this restaurant? Do you know that restaurant? And I was like, cool. I wrote, I'm in transit, but when I sit down, I'll look at my schedule. And he wrote, sounds good. They said, I'm free Tuesday the 11th or Sunday the 9th. So, like, I'm giving him 2 weeks out, right? Or Sunday the 9th if we did an early afternoon. He said, hey, so let's pencil in Sunday the 9th. Any chance you're free Wednesday the 12th? That might be better for me. And I said, let me check. That was on Thursday. I never wrote back.
Dang.
I mean, not that I'm like ruthless, but like, no, thank you. Guy yeah. before that I went on Tinder with, I had actually met him at a karaoke party like 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I was with my ex and he was with his ex, who's like this little like Sheena Marie style spinner. And like, I'm like me, obviously. So I'm there. And but they were like my contacts at the party. Like, they right. were, I like really liked them.
Yeah.
But the way he asked me out was like, hey, we should go out. It wouldn't even be the first time we've met. Like, we met at that karaoke yeah. party. And I'm sitting there thinking like, man, like when I was with my ex and yeah. when you were with your ex, like yeah. made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Like, just felt like awkward phrasing, right?
Right.
Anyway, we wind up going on a date. He's fucking hot as fuck. Like, he is hot as fuck.
Like, hotter than you remembered?
Oh my God, yeah. That's like, the hotter best. Than I remembered. And like, also just like, perfect. Like, he's great, right?
Right?
And also, like, he's had a come up since I've last seen him.
Great.
And so I'm like loving this, I'm living for it. Find out, second date, lives with his dad in the back house. Still, I hook up with him because he's really, really hot, right? But, like, we can't have sex because I have my period, right? So then at this point, like, I had sex, like, 2 weeks before. So, like, the dam had broken. Like, I needed to have sex. It was just going to have to happen because I can go, like, 5, 6, 7. I've gone almost a year without having sex before as an adult. It's not fun. So I, like, needed to hook up with someone. He's really hot. He's super into me. We're hooking up, and he says to me, do you want to have a baby?
In the middle of it?
In the middle of it. He goes, do you want to have a baby?
Flaccid for that.
And
no.
I was like,
You instantly dried up.
I was like, no.
Right
because,
now?
Like,
with
as
you?
Much as, like, that would be my fucking dream, like, if it was the right person, I'd be like,
right.
yeah, let's, like, have a kid right now. Like, I definitely... And like, I'm not having a kid with, I've gone on 2 dates with you. I met you at a karaoke party.
Was that supposed
party.
To be like dirty talk?
Like, no, like he meant
he
it.
He was
and
in
I,
it?
And I was like, no, why would we do that? We just met. Like, I'm trying to like rationalize the situation mm-hmm. for him. And he's like, well, I've got really good genetics. And like, I realized like, this could be about the fact that he lost his mom last year.
Right.
And he's having a whole sense of mortality. Yeah. But I'm like not. Feeling that
you're not there,
and like to be honest, normally, like as I said, I'm a little bit psychotic. Like I could be there sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the fact that I was that repulsed by it really said to me everything I needed to know about the entire situation.
Right.
It was just like so that was the Tinder date before that, and then
ugh,
then I was
insane.
Off Tinder and I tried to date a friend. And then
I've only
turned out to be weird.
I've only done one app date in my whole life. I don't put
what?
I don't put myself out there a ton. It's like not like my fave thing
Who
to
was
do.
He?
He was a bald man, which is actually the only reason I remembered him, because that's like the only aside from him being my only app date. I think it was Bumble. I think we met on Bumble. It was like the first summer after I moved to New York, and I was like hungover the day of our date and like had like immediately woken up and gotten really, really stoned. So I think I was still a little stoned when I arrived for the date.
Mm-hmm.
And he was bald. He was a couple years older than me. He was like from like the bougie part of New Jersey that they film Housewives in. And he was
like a Montclair, like
yeah, one of those.
Okay.
I'm not good with Jersey geography; it's all the same to me.
That's accurate.
But, but he was like, we drank like 2 bottles of wine. We got like pretty hammered, just like this wine bar in the Lower East Side, and we had like the best time. We're like making out in the middle of the street, and then he worked for the NFL.
Yeah,
and then I met up with him like a week later. And we did like a sober date. We got tacos, and I was like, "You're so boring. I want to kill myself.
Yeah,
like,
no,
this
you,
is awful."
That's the hardest part.
Like
I yeah. mean, here's the thing: is that like everyone says, like start with the coffee date because then you're gonna know if you can like even stand the person.
Right.
I can't. I just can't. Like, I cannot sit across from a stranger, dead ass sober, and
yeah.
be like, "So, what do you like to do?" Like,
right.
I'll tell you what I like to do is like fucking not talk to you. And
right.
like I do. I need to be a little bit lubed up to like go into a conversation with a stranger.
Exactly.
Is that terrible?
No, I don't think that's terrible at all.
You think yes?
I don't think it's terrible. I think you need to examine why. Because then you become reliant on alcohol.
But
and
I also
that
think
develops like a really questionable relationship with substances.
No, it's for me a more questionable relationship with dating.
Yeah.
And like,
well, I think you also have a unique approach to like Tinder and apps in general, which I find really refreshing, because I think like my group of girlfriends in New York and my group of girlfriends from college, like when the apps started coming out, a lot of them were like, okay, this is how I'm finding my next long-term boyfriend. And that's just not like, I appreciate that you kind of have the sense of ambivalence about it. And it's kind of more of like a like fun, like interview with a random stranger type deal.
It's a social experiment.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, if I choose to dive into the apps now that I am a Los Angeles resident. Like, right. That's kind of the attitude that I would like to have, to not make myself go crazy. Because I also, like, I have the longest of dry spells, and then I have guy friends, and then I pull the guy friends out of the friend zone, and then in 2 weeks I'm like, we're getting married. Like, I just am all over the place. So I'm trying to, like...
Are you single right now?
I'm so single. Okay. So single.
But...
Are you looking?
I just moved here. Yeah. I was, like, probably at the point in New York before I decided to move where I was, like, getting ready to look. I had, like, a weird situationship with, like, a dude I met on the internet, and then he dumped me on FaceTime. He was, like, my burger. It was, like, a whole thing. So, like, it is what it is. So I think I want to wait a little bit and get settled. Like, I'm more concerned about, like, I'm, like, a hardcore workaholic, and I've had this problem before where I've only become friends with the people that I work with, and then that gets messy. So I'm trying to make an effort to, like, build a group of friends here that aren't, like, still, you know, ambitious and kind of doing the same things that I'm doing, but aren't people that I work with specifically. So I'm more focused on that. But then I think I just want to have, like, a little bit more agency in my dating life and act, because I also do this thing where, like, people will reach out to me on, like, Twitter or Snapchat, or be like, you know, like, oh, like, I want to talk to you about social media, or I want to talk to you about marketing or what this, whatever. And then I get there and then I'm like, this is a date. Like, this is a fucking
date. I did have someone ask me that yesterday. He's like, what's the presumption when, like, a guy reaches out to you about work stuff that you guys are going to hook up? And I think that that's how I started the conversation, where I said, like, there's something about me that, like, either I know I'm going into a date or I know I'm going into a work thing, but, like, guys don't try it with me.
Yeah.
Like, and I think, I mean, I definitely have been at meetings and I've been like, this guy's cuter than I thought he was going to be, and there's no fucking way I'm going to work with him, so I'm going to take him to the smash zone.
Right.
That hasn't always worked out for me long term, as this town is very small, and eventually you do wind up having to kind of work with that person, or that your fate at a position or a company is in that person's hand all of a sudden. You're like, oh, wow, we've all grown up quite a bit, haven't we, since that first happened. One thing I really wanted to clarify, and then I have a question for you, is that I can go on like a coffee date with a guy I've met in person that asked me out. But if it's an internet date and I don't know this person, I like to meet for a glass of wine. Like, I don't like to go meet at a coffee bean sober in the middle of the day. I'm not going to find parking at Alfred Coffee. Like, I just, like, I want to take an Uber to fucking Edendale and have a Tito's martini and go home. Right. And, like, that's how I want a first date to go on Tinder. Otherwise, you're just sitting there with a fucking stranger. And who ever wants to do that?
I agree.
Sit with a stranger. Do you?
I mean, it's just a part of life. It's just a part of life. How do you meet anyone? We were strangers when we met. You know, everybody's a stranger.
Yeah, we met at my birthday party.
Yeah. I mean, but like, we were strangers.
And then we sat at Coffee Bean together every day.
I didn't have a drink when I met you.
Yeah. But then we sat at Coffee Bean together sober every day for a year. Yeah. So, but I mean, again, like, if it's someone that's like asked me out at a party or something, and then we go on a first date, I won't have to quote unquote have to drink.
Right.
Now, here's my question, because I've been running into a lot of burgers lately, and I've been realizing, like, oh, I thought this guy was at worst a big, meaning that I think the big is an abusive asshole, and I really don't love that narrative.
Right.
Everyone always wants the Aiden, but you know.
I'm like an anti-Aiden.
Yeah.
Anyway, what is the problem with Burger? What I remember what his problem was. I remember he was emotionally unavailable, but did we nail down exactly what Burger's issue was?
He had a lot of anger issues. He was emotionally unavailable. I think that he was probably like a little like manic depressive. He was like really intimidated by Carrie's success. Because remember, they had the same book agent.
Right.
And like his book didn't get picked up or got canceled or something. And
it was in a sale bin.
Right. And so all of that was going on. And he just kind of like really bruised his ego through that. Like, it was hard for him to see her be successful. And then he would get... Like, really early on when they were dating, the, like, ex-girlfriend voicemail thing happened, and he got really angry, so I think,
what was the ex...
They were, like, the first time Carrie... I just recently watched this episode. The first time Carrie spent the night at his house, his ex-girlfriend called and left a voicemail, and he, like, went into, like, a manic fit over it.
Right, okay.
And, like, called her a bitch and, like, all this stuff, like, was, like, super angry and, like, but then wouldn't talk about it in any kind of calm way after the fact.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, and that's, for me, that's, like, a, like, if any guy who just immediately is, like, oh, my ex-girlfriend was crazy, it's, like, okay, like...
Oh, my God, by the way... any girl in the world, if I've ever disliked you or been mean to you, it's because a guy lied to me about you and I'm right. sorry. Like, right. I am so, like, honestly, there are very few people that I purely dislike. Maybe there's a few of them, but for the most part, any girl that I've ever beefed with, it's because I've been lied to by a man about her and I fucking believed it like an idiot. Yeah. So, big apologies to every woman in Los Angeles I've been slightly cunty to yeah. at the party.
And Berger's the one that broke up with her on a post-it. So yeah, I feel like the 2017 that, yeah. version of that is being broken up with over FaceTime, which is what happened to me.
You know, and it's weird, too, because it's like the grand gestures, like the pink carnations. Like, he remembers that one little thing she says in passing at brunch, mm-hmm. and you think you're in the clear, and you're given all this hope, and then it turns out that person is still a fucking psycho, and their actions will never line up with their words. Or right. their words will never line up with their actions. Like, just don't talk to me. Just leave me alone. Go be mentally ill at your house.
Yeah.
All right. You guys, that was episode 127 of Please Advise. Frankie, thank you so much for being here, girl.
Thank you for having me. I got you a present. I left it in my car. But
you did?
It's a really good smelling candle. So I wish everyone could smell it
thank
with us.
Thank you. I have Queen of Glendale matches for you and also that yes. Britney Spears pencil I just gave
love
you.
Love it.
Thank you very much to the girls who sent me pencils today. Their company is named at LZ Pencils, and it's all they had. Okay, so I've been reading a lot about Britney. They sent me all these Britney Spears pencils, and I'm very thankful for that. And they also sent me some Britney Spears stationery,
beautiful,
which I'm excited about. So thank you so much to them. I gave Christina and Frankie pencils. Frankie, most importantly for you, where can everyone find you online?
First and foremost, Twitter, I think, is a good place to figure out who I am as a human. My Twitter is just my name, Frankie Greek. Other than that, if you Google me, it's going to tell you that I'm a Snapchatter. So my Snapchat is WT Frankie, which is a username I made when I was very young and I thought was very funny. Mm-hmm. And I never thought I would have to use in a professional setting.
Wait, what is it again?
WT Frankie.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I do love it. You know what sucks? Is that you can never change your name.
On Snap?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pain. It's a big pain. I'm also – I have a different handle on all social medias, and it makes me insane because it's just not very efficient. It's very hard for, like, people to find me.
I'm so mad about Malls Official. Like, I'm so mad. I was told I had to save a name, and I did because I was going to do something. And then I wound up never working for them, and then now I'm just – I'm fucked.
What do you think is your next hair color?
Oh, I was gonna dye my hair this morning and then I ended up going to Target. You know when you move and you just go to Target like every day?
I go to Target every day regardless of when I move.
Literally, like, my phone almost thinks Target's my home at this point.
It's like when you leave, it's like 2 minutes to get
yeah,
home.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
it's like the Santa Monica Target.
So I'm in my friend's wedding in a couple months and I told her she could pick my hair color for the wedding. So she wants me to do like a pinky silvery. It was mostly my idea, but she agreed to it. So I have silver hair dye, I have pink hair dye, and I have blue hair dye at my house. I'm just gonna see what happens.
And you're blonde right now.
I'm blonde right now. Yeah, my natural color is like my eyebrows, this dark brown. So I don't know.
I love dark hair and dark brows and blonde hair. I dye my brows every time I go.
I like recently just stopped doing anything to my eyebrows and started getting a lot of compliments. So I was like, whatever. And I saw like the very last episode of the new Top Model, mm-hmm. and the one girl on it had like platinum hair and these crazy brows, and it looked amazing on her. So
yeah, it's very like Marilyn Monroe, Anna Nicole-esque, mm-hmm. like it's, but also a little Suicide Girls-y. One thing I will say, the best thing that ever fucking happened to me was when I moved and I lost my tweezers for 2 months in the move, and I just couldn't do anything, and I didn't have time to go to the salon and get them done. So like my brows just fully grew out, and now all I have to do is like get the ones that are like halfway down the side of my face. Do you have eyebrows that ever come down here?
Oh, heck yeah.
And and it's just like one or two.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, I love you all so much. Thank you for listening. I'm Molly McAleer. Christina Lopez is our producer. Frankie, you're the shit.
Thanks.
Wagon Stiff's the best dog in the world. Happy belated National Puppy Day to everyone. And also, I'm not sure if we're going to have an episode next week because I didn't want to do two today. I just didn't feel like it. Mama needed a break. What I will
you
try.
Need a mental health break. Sometimes.
Yeah. Honestly, I needed a fucking mental health vacation, which is very scary to say out loud because whenever people do that, I'm like, oh my God, call the police. But I do think that I needed a break this morning. I couldn't do two in a row. But this is what I will try and do for you. So I went to that matchmaking seminar. Amy and I recorded a recap podcast of it. I'm going to have Christina help me pull those files off today. I'm going to give them to her because I was originally going to run that on Emotionally Broken Psychos, and I might still do that for the Thursday episode, but I would like you guys to have it too because we learned a lot of really terrible stuff. We learned some terrible information. Have a great one, you guys. Bye.